This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, inviting you to stay tuned now to hear God's message by our late pastor. The message you hear today, slander. You may want to get it in print simply by writing. And if you will, stay tuned now for God's message on slander.
Look at Matthew 3:7. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? The slanderers in the religious world in the day of Christ were called a generation of vipers, that is, snakes, and operated under the religious cover of Phariseeism and Sadduceeism. John would not even baptize them. He sent them back home to examine themselves and come back, and not to come back until they had surrendered their stubborn wills and had taken their place as sinners and bring forth fruit meet or appropriate for repentance. Now let's turn to Ecclesiastes, the 10th chapter and the 11th verse. If the serpent bites before it is charmed, then it is no use to call a charmer, and a slanderer is no better than the uncharmed snake. The words of a wise man's mouth are gracious and win him favor, but the lips of a fool will consume him. The beginning of the words of his mouth is foolishness, and the end of his talk is wicked madness. A fool also multiplieth words, though no man can tell what will be or what will happen after he's gone. Who can tell him? The labor of fools worries every one of them, because he is so ignorant of the ordinary matters that he does not even know how to get to town. Now that's how stupid God says a slanderer is. We find here that the preacher in Ecclesiastes is telling us that the slanderer's very talk is wicked madness, and that he is a fool and multiplies his words, and that he is so ignorant of ordinary matters that he doesn't even know how to get to town. He is showing here how ignorant and stupid a slanderer is. Now let's turn to Psalms 140 and the first verse. Deliver me, O Lord, from the evil man. Preserve me from the violent man. They devise mischiefs in their heart. Continually are they gathered together and stir up wars. They have sharpened their tongues like a serpent's adder, and the adder of poison is under their lips. Selah. Keep me, O Lord, from the hands of the wicked. Preserve me from the violent man, who have purposed to thrust aside my steps. The proud have hid a snare from me. They have spread cords as a net by the wayside. They have set traps for me. Selah. Let not a man of slanderous tongue be established in the earth. Let evil hunt the violent man to overthrow him. Let calamity follow his evil doing. I know, and rest in confidence upon it, that the Lord will maintain the cause of his afflicted, and justice for the poor and needy of his believing children. In this scripture, the divine writer speaks of the slanderer as one who devises mischiefs in their heart. They have sharpened their tongues like the serpent's tongue, and they carry poison under their lips. He also pictures the slanderer as one who sets a snare for the innocent, and the believer's only defense against the slanderer's tongue is the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. On the cover page of this message is a description or a descriptive picture of a slanderer. If you order one, on the cover page we'll have a typical picture of a slanderer. It's a serpent with a human head coiled, ready to strike with long, red, forked tongue in the heart of the innocent one. You will notice that this picture of the slanderer has wings like a bat. The news of slander travels swiftly, covers far distant ground in flying as well as crawling. Someone has said that the slanderer can go around the world while truth is getting its boots on. The slanderer leaves the heart of its victim bleeding. If you will look closely at this picture, you'll see, when you receive the booklet, you'll notice jealousy, envy, prejudice, malignity stands out like poison sacks, which feeds his deadly fangs, and that pierces one's good name. Only the serpent, with its venom, with its slimy, slippery folds, noisily crawls, with its deadly coil and fatal fang, is an appropriate symbol of the slanderer who strikes from ambush and slays a man's character. Slander is spoken of in the Bible as an abomination to God. Proverbs 6:16 says, listen, these six things the Lord hates, indeed seven, are an abomination to him. A proud look, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that manufactures wicked thoughts and plans for that are swift to run evil, a false witness who breathes out lies even under oath, and he who sows discord among his brethren. He calls our attention here to six to seven things that are an abomination to the Lord God of heaven. First is a proud look. This is the spirit that makes a person overestimate himself and underestimate others. Second, he speaks of a lying tongue. The tongue is a little member set on the fire of hell and never gets tired of slandering the innocent party. Third, he hates hands that are swift to shed blood. The psalmist, under the lash of a slanderous tongue, was made to cry out, deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. What shall be given unto thee, or what shall be done unto thee, thou false tongue? Then he answers his own question, sharp arrows of the mighty with coals of the Jupiter. Yes, a lying tongue is an abomination to God, and hands that shed innocent blood. The worst murderer is one that is committed by the tongue of slander. My friend, I do not know that the Bible speaks of any other sin that's as hellish, as brutal, as murderous as slander is. No murderer shall enter the kingdom of heaven, and he who gives himself or herself over to slandering a person's character and good name is a murderer, therefore has no eternal life dwelling in them. Then again he says, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, or as the Amplified Version says, a heart that manufactures wicked thoughts and plans. No language can describe such a heart that is given over to blasphemy, wicked thoughts, wicked plans, for the sole purpose of wrecking and destroying, if at all possible, the character of a good man or a woman. You know, you can't slander a bum. You can't slander someone like that. You can only slander a man whom men trust. It is amazing how quickly a person can give himself over as a false witness and is always running swiftly to peddle that evil, to let others know about that slander. Every one of these are false witnesses They breathe out lies, even under oath, everything to carry their point and accomplish their purpose. They have no honor. Honor is a stranger to them. Let me say again, a slanderer has no honor. If a lie will suit his purpose better than the truth, he'll lie, because his mind is filled with lies. The Lord God in His Word says that they are not only wicked men, but they're mad men. They are obsessed with the destruction of the hated object of their envy and jealousy. The Word of God compares them to insane individuals. And like an insane individual, they believe they're right. Everybody else is wrong. In the religious realm, they believe they're doing God's will in crushing their victim. And they picture to the world by actions and by word of mouth that they are the most persecuted individuals in the world. They live under a murderous complex. That's the reason you can't talk with them, reason with them, appease them, or even manifest any love, kindness toward them. Then last, the Lord classes the slanderer as one who sows discord among the brethren. A slanderer can never keep his mouth shut. He's got to keep telling what they think, what they've heard, and adding to it as the snowball grows. That's what the Scripture means by multiplying words. Usually you can never pin the individual down to a concrete declarative statement. It's always an insinuation or a suggestion. They'll write letters, but seldom sign a name to them. Now let's notice a more formal definition of slander. Winston's dictionary puts it like this. Slander is the utterance of dissemination of false statements about another in order to defame or injure him. False report, maliciously uttered and tending to injure one's reputation. It's an attack on one's reputation by spreading slander, discord, which is a symbol of scandal, which is gossip, perhaps true, perhaps false, repeated either from malice or thoughtlessness and spread abroad. Then Webster gives this definition. Slander is the utterance of false charges or misrepresentations which defames, damages reputations. It's a false tale of our report, maliciously uttered orally, tending to injure the reputation of another. It is the malicious publication by speech of false tales or suggestions to the injury of another. It is to hurt the reputation of one by the malicious utterance containing a false or injurious representation. In the Encyclopedia Britannica says, slander is an injury to a person's character and reputation caused by spoken words. It is difficult to define what kind of injuries of this nature are actionable, but in general, whatever imputes disgraceful, fraudulent, or dishonest conduct, or even tends to make a man contemptible in his private relations and is shunned by his friends and neighbors. Thus, whatever imputes a crime or offense or a contagious disease is a slanderer. God imputing gross ignorance or misconduct affecting one's trade or profession is a slanderer. Insinuation, which is a covert accusation, is equivalent to slander. Slander hurts all who are involved, directly or indirectly. Slander harms all who peddles it, all who receives it, smears, sears all who associated with it, and those who believe it and condone it. Slander beguiles all who are deceived and beguiles all who embrace it. Slander is godless, that is, has no spiritual life. It is harmful, as there is no love. Slander is indecent because it crawls under the banner of love and concern for its intended victim. Slander feigns kindness, is a loving liar because it seeks authority without responsibility, and above all, loves to have the preeminence. Slander will ostracize its victim by multiplying suspicions against the victim's motives. Slander is sadistic, tragical, and ungodly because it is usually turned on those who have done the most for them. Therefore, under the cloak of professed friendship, the victim of slander least suspects the murderous intent of the slanderer. Satan's most painful slander propaganda, no doubt, is that which comes from the best friends whom the victim may have loved, helped, favored, trusted, promoted, defended, and befriended in a sacrificial manner. And now they've turned on him with the most vicious attack of his character that can be imagined. God's word speaks out against the slanderer. Listen to God's word. Whoso privately slandereth his neighbor, him will I cut off. And again he says, he that hideth hatred with lying lips, and he that uttereth slander is a fool. Again, answer not a fool according to his folly, lest thou also be like him. Slander occupies the thoughts, time, and conversation by all those who are deceived by it, all who are objects of it, all who are involved in it, whether friend or enemy, and at the last wrecks the lives of everyone involved in it. There is one exception to the general rule, and that is the believer who lives and moves and has his being in Christ. He loves above it and lives above it and beyond it. Slander is prejudice that is judges an individual on the spot before any investigation is made. Slander undermines friendship, breaks fellowship, and destroys the influence of a good character upon the members of a community. Slander is cowardly because one is not man enough to say no when the slanderer approaches him. He believes the report without documented evidence. The slanderous nature of an individual makes him willing to believe perjured testimony rather than search for the truth. Unblessed facts in a matter. Slander reveals and delights in worthless, empty conversation, which makes for an empty character, aimless, worthless, and purposeless life, because it all stems from an empty heart. The heart of every slanderer is deep, and being empty, it occupies itself with an illusion of words, looks, acts, of its vain imagination in order to try to make fun of someone or to make something or someone seem absurd. This is mockery, derision, vanity, and vain show to parade itself before the world for recognition, preeminence, and so on. Slander is sadistic. That is, it delights in seeing others suffer. It is happy only when it has its foot on another's neck or knifing his heart out of its bosom. Slander is tragic because it usually turns on those who have sacrificed the most for them, who have loved them, trusted them, and who are therefore unguarded against the betrayal of kin and friend. Slander can't leave its victim alone. It must be continually provoking, annoying, irritating, and harassing the individual. They get much joy out of such sadistic treatment. It is this characteristic of man that exhibits his sonship to the devil. Ye are of your father the devil. The slanderer is a coward and behaves himself cowardly. They call on the telephone, hold the receiver in silence. They mail anonymous letters. They hide behind anyone or anything that is convenient. They seek information through the grapevine or spies in the camp. They'll impersonate the Retail Credit Association and other private information bureaus to secure personal information, if possible to add to their collection of weapons of intimidation. Slander has a lively imagination, and it revolves around a sex complex as a rule. All the accusations and insinuations are just carbon copies of the same core of thinkers of which the slanderer is accustomed to indulging himself in. The slanderer will gather false witnesses and produce affidavits of their insinuation to put over their plans and program by making it look authentic. Slander climaxes in the unpardonable sin or blasphemy of the Holy Ghost, which is attacking the leadership of God's pastor to Satan, for which there is no forgiveness in this world or the world to come. Amen. Slander is grievous to man and also to God, his maker, because it is the betrayal of a friend to a hostile world to crucify him. In other words, slander can exist only when one has professed friendship and close association, and who professes to know the facts in the case or to be intimate with the victim. Such profession relationship implies a love from one of both sides, which man makes the victim unexpected, that he's helped and trusted and befriended and sacrificed himself to and for. The slanderer professes to publish what has passed between a close friend and himself privately. This is a betrayal with a kiss. Judas betrayed the Lord Jesus Christ, and the scripture says he went to his own place. There's a special place prepared for every slanderer who is a betrayer, and a special instrument of hell waiting for him. The slanderer is a total stranger to love and honor. They will make much of those words and tell their victims or victim that they are showing how much they love him, how much they honor him. But it's a living lie. It's a kiss of Judas, an individual who will slander anyone to try to wreck and ruin their character and reputation and bring their honor into the dust, has not one particle of love in them. They know nothing about the love of Christ. They know nothing about a word of honor. Their whole life is a living falsehood because there's no love or honor in them. The slanderer hates his superior with wicked malice and bitter revenge. They will not study, labor, and strive to reach that place which their superiors hold, but they'll try to steal it from him through the tongue of slander. You will find that in business everywhere you go. Now, that's right. You'll find it in the religious world. You'll find it in particular every phase of the professional world. There is such a hate and revenge in the individual's life until he does not know how to build a life that's worthwhile. He has nothing in his life of value, such as honor, love, kindness, tenderness, that goes to build a life and or grow a business. There is a root of bitterness in his heart until everything he touches or has anything to do with is flavored with that vile, wicked bitterness and hatred of his heart and soul. Most of his time is taken up with rolling his bits of slander as sugar plums under his tongue, and he divides this bit of slander with others, and as he does, the plum grows as it goes from mouth to mouth. Let's close with this thought, how to deal with slander. You listen. In the first place, I find that there's little protection against slander, because a slanderer is an assassin and a coward, and he strikes from ambush. There's no legal power that can touch him. A slanderer is the hardest crime to prove in court or to punish when proven. That's the reason many a man resorts to a revolver, which is not God's way of handling a slanderer. The reason is the individual is too big a coward to come out in the open. All his letters, telephone calls, and so on, his insinuations spoken in general terms. For instance, they'll cry out, the only thing that a Christian has to fear is sin, sin, sin. And then they'll back it up by saying, he's sinned, he's sinned. Let him confess, let him confess. He's sinned. But they are too big a coward to name the sin. They watch every loophole to steer clear as a coward and to steer clear of the law. In writing letters, they never sinned. The original, it's always a copy, and that without identification. The slanderer occupies a difficult position, and most of all, he needs the grace of God with patience, forbearance.
This brings to the close another Voice of Truth broadcast. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis. The message you heard today was Slander by the late Pastor L.R. Shelton Sr. These messages, all these messages heard on the Voice of Truth broadcast, are available in print simply by writing. They're free and postpaid. They're also available on cassettes and CDs for a small fee. And you write us, let us hear from you. I would like to hear from you. Tell me you're listening. Tell me where you're listening. Our website, radiomissions.org. Much information there about these broadcasts. Time after time, we hear each Sunday at this same time. Goodbye, and God bless you.